Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode number 103 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and Sean Orford, who's just had a swig of a coffee. Is that decaf?
It is, yeah.
You left some of your decaf capsules at my house when from Brekkie.
That was a gift.
Oh, was that a gift?
So when I come to your house, I can actually have a decaf.
I wasn't sure with like Nespresso whether, you know, because obviously when you take a bottle of wine or something to someone's house, you don't leave with it if it's half full. Though I have got a friend who did that once, who shall remain nameless, but it was noted.
What a good idea.
But I wasn't sure with the capsules whether it was like they were yours and you can have them back.
No. I thought that if I left them in your house, I could have a decent cup of coffee when I came.
You're not going to get invited back in a hurry. Let me tell you that. Episode 103, right? We are continuing our Live in the Present audio course this week, aren't we, Sean?
Yeah.
We'll be talking about self-forgiveness. It was forgiveness of others last week, letting go.
Yeah.
So we're coming
to that. Interestingly, quite a few people around the different places that I go and do sessions have said to me, been doing the course first week, and they've been asking me about it.
Yeah, we'll recap that, but it's a tricky one the first week, so if you haven't come to terms with it yet, don't worry, it may take a bit longer than you...
Yeah, it does.
It might not take a week, it might take longer.
Yeah, many people have said to me at times over the years we've been doing it, that step one has taken them as long as sort of 3 months.
Wow.
Maybe a bit longer sometimes.
Okay.
But that's okay. That's all right. The issue is doing it. It's not time limited.
Yeah, and it's not about getting to the end. It's about doing it properly and enjoying the process.
Because people that do step one quickly and sort of like a week done, okay, on step two, very often have to revisit it later.
Right.
So, yeah.
Do it properly.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. A quick reminder to... Well, no, I'll do that in a bit, actually. But the audio, the book is online for free for our podcast listeners, which... I can actually, you've got a little tracker which sees how many times it's been read.
Yeah.
So, it's working.
Yeah, it's good.
So, liveinthepresent.co.uk/secret. It's only for podcast listeners. And if you have any trouble on your iPhone, your iPad, drop me an email, ed@liveinthepresent.co.uk. A couple of people have had a few issues which I'm trying to iron out, but...
Is that just different platforms?
It's an Apple
so many
thing,
platforms these days, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
But you'd be fine if you're looking on a laptop or an Android for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, drop me a line if you need a hand. What have you been up to this week, Sean? Anything exciting?
I'm doing some courses. Part of my deal as a psychotherapist is I have to do so many hours each year training.
Yeah.
So I've been doing, and it's partly because my client group are getting older. I'm enjoying that water there. Glug, 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 glug.
It's a nice noise, that.
I won't tell people there's gin in it.
You shouldn't.
This one's about aging. And the demographics, what that means for us as a society globally and in individual countries, is quite useful.
Sure.
But also how that works economically. Yeah, but the task I'm on this week that we were talking about earlier on is you have to find someone who's 25 years older than you, because the idea is you make a 25-year plan.
Right.
So you find someone who's 25 years older than you and you go and talk to them about where they're up to, what it's like to be that age, 25 years on, but also looking at what is it that they didn't do over that 25-year period. What is it that they're looking at as their deficits or regrets? And then looking at that in terms of your life. Because 25 years is a big span, isn't it? People make year resolutions or 5-year plans or 10-year plans, but like 25 years is a big chunk.
It's a big old chunk of time, isn't it?
Which is that's quite an interesting concept.
Well, it'd take you up to a ripe old age, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would take me out to about 127. Because episode 103 is my age, you see.
What episode will we be up to by then? I wonder, that's an interesting question. 52 times...
Thousands.
25, I'm not doing the maths. Yeah,
it's too early in the morning.
Yeah, flip it, I haven't had my first gin yet.
So what have you been up to then?
It's been a couple of weeks since we recorded, so we've had election D-Day since then, so I thought that's worth mentioning. The initial shock has kind of sunk in and it's back to reality, really. I mean, back to normal. Whether obviously there's going to be a bit of hoo-ha, and I think they've got some 100-day plan to get a lot of stuff pushed through, and now they have a majority, the Conservatives. But fair play, man. They got a majority, so not many people saw that coming.
But that's a democracy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's no good being in a democracy and then bellyaching about the results.
Yeah, they're good at playing the system, the Conservatives, aren't they, to be fair? I mean, first past the post is rightly taking a bit of a hammering at the moment. Given how many votes agree or disagree, with UKIP got 4 million votes for one seat. That's not right. I mean, I'm kind of glad, but it's not fair, that, is it? And same with the Greens. I think they got, 1.5 million, something, on one seat. So it's a bit of a strange system, but fair play. The Tories know how to play it, and they won.
Yeah. And in many ways, Parliament was built, even the Commons, was built on privilege. And the issue about, does anybody in positions of power actually represent the working population? In reality, it's probably quite rare. And you know the issue about the amount of people in the population that are on the psychopathic spectrum. We reckon 30%.
Okay.
And when you look at where are they, you look in psychiatry, you look in prisons, you look in the army, you look in the police force, all those kinds of places. And the missing amount, when you go hunting for them, are usually in positions of politics, either nationally or locally, or they're managers in the public sector. Wouldn't survive in the private sector, but manage to exert power in the private sector. It's quite interesting when you look at the stats.
Fascinating. Yeah, and a bit worrying.
So, I mean, in many ways, most countries are probably run by people with high levels of psychopathy. Which means there's low levels of empathy.
Well, I'm deep into House of Cards now, season 3. I think we're halfway through season 3. Well into it now. It's a bit of a slow start for
it. I must catch up on this, because I've watched the English one.
I'm waiting until I finish this one, and then I'm going to give the UK one a go, see where it began.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's reasonably psychopathic. Old Frank Underwood, but it's really good TV, but scary as well. But yeah, should we get on with this week's show?
Yeah.
Oh, quick before I do, Bethan's birthday passed the weekend, so
happy
I should
birthday to you.
Mention Bethan Lamb, my wonderful wife. Happy birthday! We had a nice little weekend.
Yeah,
I've got to mention that. Audio course continues, as I've mentioned just before. If you want a free copy of our book or to read it online. Just for podcast listeners only, liveinthepresent.co.uk/secret, and you'll see you'll be able to read it within the webpage there whenever you want. So have a look at that. This week we are talking about chapter 2, step 2, whatever you want to call it, which is forgiveness of others. A quick recap for step 1. We were looking at the tricky task of forgiving people that have done us wrong in our lives, weren't we, Sean?
Yeah. Forgiving other people. The thing that always comes up, and it's come up this week as I've been talking to people since it went out last week, is that the concept of forgiveness is a real tough one. When we do the second edition of the book, I'm going to change the word forgiveness to letting go. It's an easier concept to grab hold of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to forgive means to forego something, which is to let go something. And all the great philosophers say forgive those. But it's a hard one. But what we're doing is we're letting go of stuff that effectively belongs to other people. I don't want it, you have it back.
Yeah.
I'm fed up with your negativity infecting my system. I don't want it anymore, so I'm letting it go.
Back to you, yeah.
And that's what it's about.
Jog on, yeah.
And once you get your head around that and you can do it, it doesn't half make a difference because it makes you lighter. You just got rid of a whole load of baggage that you stop dragging around with
you. Yeah, so it's well worth putting in the time, whether it takes a week or 3 months to write those letters. If you haven't caught up with that, head back to the website and catch up on step 1.
Yeah.
But this week, we're assuming people have kind of tackled that and moved on.
Or are tackling it and moving on.
Yeah.
It could be that you're going to have to come back to these over the next few months. We're going to do them as 10 consecutive steps.
Sure.
But it may take a bit longer than that.
But now it's time to look in the mirror, isn't it? And being able to forgive ourselves, because we're all human, aren't we? We've all done daft things in our lives.
Well, one of the things that I know virtually everybody, when you're doing the courses, comes up with is they're making a list of people that they need to forgive for things that have happened or things that have been done to them. And the amount of people that say to me, it's like, you know what, I was thinking of myself as well, or I put myself on the list. You know, I've done bad things to myself. You know, so that idea about I need to forgive me for what I've done to me.
Ooh,
which is a strange kind of concept, but very real. But if I extend that out, if I'm honest, I've done things to other people.
Yeah.
And I don't know anybody that hasn't. You know, all of us have done things, either consciously or unconsciously, that affected other people negatively.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we need to acknowledge that. That's the kind of warts and all. You know, I am not perfect. I attempt to be a better version of myself today than I was yesterday. I try and get it better.
Yep.
If I look back at myself as a teenager when I was into drugs and all kinds of things, I did things that I would have to apologise to people for.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
In that honesty to self. And that is as valuable, because that baggage that I drag around about how I see me affects me as much as the baggage about how other people see me.
Yeah, definitely. No, I can see that for sure. I mean, we talk about the great case study of this show is your dad's effect on you.
Yeah, my dear old
positive dad. And negative.
God bless him. I had to get into that one. Yeah. We were talking about it earlier on, weren't we? Where I... If I'm honest, he did bad things to me, okay, but then I ended up doing bad things to him. Part of it was kind of retribution. I suppose most of it was retribution.
Yeah, I hope it was.
Yeah.
We're just doing it for kicks.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would just do horrible things. And I suppose one of the biggest things was, outside of the house, he always came across as being a really nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And people would always go, "Oh, what a lovely man he is!" And he was in the church in the end, and was a church warden, and had this kind of high profile of being a nice guy. And my mother used to describe him as a street angel and a house devil, because once he got in the house and you shut the front door, he was someone completely different.
Yeah.
So I publicised that fact hugely to anybody that I could, whenever I could. You know what I mean? I defamed him as much as I possibly could.
Besmirched his good name.
Yeah.
How could you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made a huge big deal out of it. But I did all those things that I did to him, things that I did to other people. Sometimes unintentionally, sometimes intentionally.
Yeah, and things that, well, I felt good at the time for you, but didn't really help the situation in the long run.
Yeah, well, one of the things when I was doing my own letters, when I was doing the list of people that I needed to forgive, I realised halfway through, as I was going through the files in my head, that there were two people that I borrowed money from years ago and never paid them back.
Hmm.
And they were, one was a couple of hundred quid and one was like 100 quid. Something like that. And I thought, oh my God. So I actually went and sought them out and gave them the money back.
That's cool. So, that's powerful. I bet they weren't expecting it, or they were kind
of... Yeah, they were quite shocked.
Had they remembered?
One of them had, and I thought, yes, you bastard. and that became a joke, you know. But the other one had completely forgotten.
So it was a nice little...
But I had to find them. And they weren't easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a bit of a
track them down.
Yeah, but it was good. It was good. But that, to me, was the part about learning to be honest about me with me.
Yeah, it's powerful, that, because, yeah, I mean, the time you spent trying to find the people and give them that positive thing is really powerful, isn't it? Because it's good for them, it's good for you.
Mm.
It's kind of a weight off your shoulders, even if you don't even remember about it a week ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so anyone that's listening to this... who's been in this cupboard that we're in at the moment, I always call this my cupboard, where I see people, and you borrowed some books, you can let me have them back.
That'd be
a good bit of honesty.
Or is anyone out there that Sean owes money to?
Shh, go away.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah. I probably paid for something. No, I probably owe you money over the long run, but hey.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about that.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of time we talk in this show about the getting to that point where you can look in the mirror each morning and say, "I love you."
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of people chuckle and what have you. But this chapter in the book is one of the tasks at the end is that getting to that point. So it's being comfortable reaching that point where you can look at yourself and think, "Hey, that person's pretty cool."
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and self-love. British people particularly have problems with this concept of self-love, because if you self-love, it seems arrogance. But actually being able to love yourself and appreciate yourself is fundamental to self-esteem, to confidence, to success, all kinds of things. You have to be positive in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't arrogance. It's arrogance if I overblow it or if I keep needing to trumpet it. But to be able to look in the mirror and smile at yourself, look yourself in the eyes and go, who loves you, baby? And to actually feel it, to feel the vibe, is good. It's a good thing.
For sure.
Yeah. And one thing that's important about looking in the mirror and smiling is that when you see a smiling face, it has a direct effect on you neurologically, physiologically.
Yeah. Well, and it's then something you can project onto the world, not just the mirror on yourself, but if you're walking down the street and the story goes that if you give someone a smile that they're not expecting, they'll smile at the next person, and before you know it, butterfly effect.
We get a Mexican smile wave.
Tsunami of smiles, yeah.
Yeah, love it.
Mm. Yeah. That's pretty good. I should write a book. We should write a book about that. Tsunami of smiles.
Yeah.
Copyright. yeah, for sure. There's a subheading in the book called The Moaning Effect, and that's the reverse, isn't it, really, of if you've been walking down the street and smiling at people, you know, the whole world lifts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the reverse is true. If you're in a place where you haven't forgiven yourself for all this stuff and you're walking along moaning, going through life moaning and complaining, putting it all on Facebook, as some people do, no names mentioned.
If you go back to where we started the journey on this whole process, all the work we've done, is that it's that no one is ever born moaning. No one's ever born happy. No one's ever born angry. These are the things that we learn as we go along.
Yeah.
And it's understanding the fact that it's learning that is so important, because it means we can relearn. But if you're a miserable moaning person, you know, there's nothing to be miserable and moaning about other than the way that you see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's your perception.
Yeah.
And you will find a group of people that all have the same experience. Some people will be uplifted by it and it will change them positively, and some people will find the negative in it and it will drag them down.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation isn't different, it's the individual perceptions that are different.
Yep.
And those perceptions are things that we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that if I break my leg and I can't go to work, do I look at that in terms of, oh my God, and moan and complain about it? Or do I say, okay, thank you, universe, for giving me this opportunity to stick my foot up for a few weeks and
watch House of Cards, Breaking Bad.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, because I can make the positive out.
Put on some weight, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to get a new wardrobe because I put on some weight.
Yeah.
But is it positive or negative?
Mm.
You know, you and I talk about this, don't we? It's like you and I both have positive, fulfilling lives. But that isn't an accident. That isn't something that happened to us as in we tripped over it. You and I have actually worked at creating positive experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do what you enjoy doing.
Yep.
I do what I enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
We
could be putting hubcaps on in a car factory
mm-hmm.
and having a really miserable time and going, oh, I hate this.
I quite enjoy little jobs like that. I'd be good at something like that, really. Monotonous things where you're just doing the same thing over and over. Yeah, most cars. You do get cars with hubcaps. Tend to be alloys now, don't they?
Yeah.
Even low-end stuff. You don't see as many hubcaps lying on the side of the road as you used to.
That's true.
In my day.
Yeah.
There were hubcaps everywhere.
Yeah, when I was a lad.
I've got a couple of good examples of positive... that childlike state of euphoria in my house, because... Jacob's nearly 7 months, Will's 3.5, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting seeing the difference between them, because Will's really switched on now and he's a chatty little fella. Has a little whinge every now and again. He's starting to get into that mode. He's already like a grumpy teenager at the age of 3. Every now and again I'm like, buck up, sunshine. Jacob's just a little ray of sunlight. But to be fair, Will is like, he's got a really high opinion of himself in a positive way.
Yeah.
I caught him in the mirror the other day. He was stark naked before he got dressed, tearing around the house like a little absolute lunatic. And I caught him in the mirror kind of posing and stuff and kind of looking at himself and smiling and giving little thumbs up. Like, what are you doing, Will? And he's got a bit shy and embarrassed then.
I do that every morning.
I was thinking, this is what Sean does every morning.
Stark naked, that mirror at the top of the stairs. Naked.
Poor Ree. What up with that?
What do you mean, poor Ree? Saying, well, there's a Greek god in the house.
Yeah, but it's that thing about that. We lose that childlike sensibility, don't we?
But it's that internal voice that's critical. So, like, where does it come from? You know, on the basis that we're born blank, but we learn these things. If there's a voiceness that's saying, you know, you're fat, you're ugly, you're stupid, you know, where did that come from? You know, somebody gave it to us, we learned it.
Yep.
We practiced it, and as we practiced it, we developed it. And then we say things like, just the way I am. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's never just the way you are. It's the way I've learned to be. And if the system is learning, then I can learn to be what I want to be.
Yeah.
So the question on the course is, what do you want? What do you really, 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 really want?
Mm-hmm.
If you know that and you can see it and you can understand it, you can get it.
Yeah.
Do certain things in certain ways, get certain results.
And as in with step one, which takes a bit of time, this one takes time as well. It's about persistence, really, isn't it? It's about kind of drumming in these habits early on.
Yeah. But the first time you go to the mirror, you look yourself in the eyes and you say, I love you. If you can do it, because some people can't even look in the mirror. Yeah, so the task may actually be to get as far as the mirror and look at yourself. Yeah. I know the amount of women who say they do their makeup without looking themselves in the eyes. You know, they can do that because they don't want to acknowledge who's in the mirror.
Mm.
But if you can get to the point where you can look in the mirror and maybe you do burst out laughing or you think you liar when you say it, it's habit. 100 times, 400 times, 4,000 times, however long it takes, until it just becomes part of the way you look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And then every time you walk past the mirror, you go, woo.
With or without makeup.
Yeah, you do a will. Because because you go in the mirror again, hey, I'm wooey.
Yeah, look how awesome I am.
And that's good. That's good. That's not arrogance. That's not stupidity. It's a good feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, I am worth the skin I stand up in. Doesn't mean say I'm worth more than you are.
Yeah.
We can both be worth the skin we stand up in.
Mm.
Yeah, but I need to feel good about me. How can I expect anybody else to feel good about me if I don't?
Yeah, that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a task in the book which is worth mentioning. In the step one, we encourage people to write letters, which you may or may not send, asking or giving forgiveness to those that have done you wrong in the past. And in the same way, there's a task that can apply to this one is writing letters of apology.
Yep.
To people, you know, if you've been a bit of a bugger at some point in life or you've done something wrong, you might only just realise that whilst looking through this, it's worth writing it down. Again, you don't have to send the letter. In fact, would you...
Well, most cases, as in step one, if you send a letter to someone saying, you know, I want to apologise for being such a shit at this point in life, they're likely to come back and go, yes, you were, and off we go again. So we start to build the problem. And the issue isn't about... When we're doing this work in these 10 steps, it isn't about other people. It's about me. It's about us. It's about ourselves, yeah? So in step one, I'm giving stuff back to other people. I'm letting go of it, yeah? And sometimes you can't write letters to people that are dead.
Mm-hmm.
You can't send them. You can write them. You can get rid of the stuff, yeah? But some people, it's completely inappropriate to send letters to, but you want to get rid of it, so you write the letter, and then you burn the letter, you do whatever.
Yep.
Same with this step, you know, having this feeling of I want to apologise for who I am and for what I've done. If I start saying that to other people, it's likely to reignite the problem.
Mm.
Yeah, there may be some people that is appropriate to do that to. Sure. And maybe it's even appropriate for some people to go and seek them out, like me and paying back some debts.
Yeah, yeah, obviously, I was going to say, for this step, maybe it's not quite as troublesome to send the letters.
I think
you're only going to get... positivity back on you, really.
Well, no, it depends. Depends, doesn't it? If I did something, I know, maybe I was driving recklessly and I hit somebody and they lost their leg.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean? To go back and apologise. And I may feel, you know, I may be carrying the weight of that with me and I need to let it go.
Yeah.
But to go back and start apologising to someone who maybe has had a very difficult life because they've lost the leg because I was driving stupidly. Do you know what I mean? It's a bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good point. Okay.
And that could even be to do with relationships or children or parents or kinds of things.
That person might not be at the stage where they're ready to tackle that. Good point. Okay, cool. That's quite powerful stuff, isn't it? Letters of apology. Mm.
Yeah. When you did this, obviously when we were doing the course, did you have people that you felt you needed to apologise to?
I can't remember, actually. I don't think I did, but I must have, you know, must have done some things, because I'm a bit of a witty, sarcastic chap, so I've probably upset someone at some point.
But you're also a psychopath, so you don't know it.
Yeah, when I was in Italy last year, actually, I was on from a mate's wedding. We were on the stag do the night before. It was a pretty fairly tame event, which was good fun. But we ran into a couple of American girls, got chatting to them, and sometimes you just don't click with people. It's not like most of the time I do, but this I took a dislike to this lady, and I really kind of I think she'd been to Rome. They were on a trip of it, tour of Italy, and she'd been to Rome, and she said she wasn't that impressed with it. And I didn't take that too well. I was like, what? I let rip, really. But I was super sarcastic, Ed, and she was really, really angry with me. I had a couple to drink, all right. But yeah, I'd probably write her a letter.
I guess that when people are looking at this idea about what is it that they've done wasn't so good to other people, that you might find that things like alcohol and different drugs have played a part in that.
Mm-hmm.
As disinhibitors. You know, once people are disinhibited and they say the kind of things that maybe they were thinking, but they had the inhibition not to say.
Yeah.
And once they're disinhibited, it all comes out. And then after it's like, oh my God.
And I actually saw the girl the next day on a boat. We were going to go to Capri for the day. And I remember saying that she was doing that as well the next day. And I was thinking the whole morning, oh, if I see her on the boat, it's going to be embarrassing because I'm going to be now with my wife and Will and my in-laws who were there too. And sure enough, yeah, she was in the queue behind me trying to buy a ticket, and I was just praying that she didn't notice I was there. Yeah.
You didn't think I could go and apologise?
I could have apologised, but I was just too embarrassed. So
yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Maybe one of the inhibitions that stops us solving problems with other people is things like embarrassment.
Yeah.
You know, and that level of honesty, to be honest with yourself. Because I think when you do these letters, people say to me things like, I was doing the letters, I was sat there writing the letter, and I was going bright red. I was just so embarrassed by what I was, you know. But that's real, isn't it? We're actually letting this stuff go.
Yeah.
Mm. You know? It's a brave man to face a woman that you just slagged off the day before.
Yeah, and I wasn't brave enough for that. I didn't get a name, obviously, so I can't kind of look her up on Facebook or anything. For the best, really. But that's my little case study, I guess. We'll wrap it up there, Sean, because I think that's a good little introduction.
Yeah, and the step is up online on the site.
Yep.
Yeah, and it may be that you haven't completed step one.
Mm-hmm.
You still need to go and read this. It helps you expand your mind. And it may be you don't necessarily address the task here of sending letters of apology or writing letters of apology at this moment, but work your way through it. Step one, step two, step three, keep going.
For sure. Okay, yeah. Cool. Have you got a resource of the week at all?
I've got two, really. One is I put the link up here, it's just mindfulness online. Now, we're talking about being able to be honest, being able to focus into the present, being able to address these things. Being mindful online is a really useful little program to get you into the idea of mindfulness and mindfulness practice, which is good.
Yeah.
And also, I've included the mindfulness toolkit, which is on the site that people can go and download, which has got some recordings on. And the one that is particularly that I want to focus on in terms of this is in the mindfulness toolkit, there is the morning focus, and it's the issue of if you're going to change your relationship with the world, you're going to change your attitudes, and you want to learn to be different, it starts off with when you wake up in the morning.
Yep.
And in those first stages, especially if you're waking up in the morning and you have got that experience of like, oh my God, not again, that kind of feeling, what you need to do is you need to put on the morning focus recording as soon as you get up. You know, wake up, have a pee, and then listen to the recording.
Get some water in your system. That's good for waking up.
Yeah, and address your day. Write your script for the day. Learn something new for your day.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you can have that for free on us.
Yep.
Just go to the website and put your email address in the box, and you will be sent a link as soon as you've confirmed your address, and you can download them. How about that?
Good. What's yours?
Mine's, again, not hugely related, but I guess it's an well, Robin Williams is an interesting chap because, again, on the face of it, he was the perfect, happy chappy, super bright and intelligent, and made millions of people laugh. Underneath it, maybe not. Suffered with depression. But there's a great interview with him. I'm going through a bit of a US talk show host YouTube phase with Johnny Carson.
All right, yeah.
On YouTube. So have a look at that. I'll put the link up, Robin Williams. But then you'll just die. I'm going through a lot of that stuff because there's a bit of a changing of the guard in US talk show host at the moment because Letterman's retiring in a couple of weeks.
We got the big lad from over here that's over there, haven't we?
Well, he's taken over. James something, is it?
Corden.
Yeah, he's taken over from Craig Ferguson on the Late Late Show. Jay Leno retired a couple of years ago. There's a bit of a change in the guard, but I'm just revisiting all this stuff on YouTube where just really interesting people get interviewed. Mm. I think there's space for a YouTube channel or something like that. Anyway, have a look at that in the show notes.
Yep.
Next week, chapter 3 is gratitude.
Have an attitude of gratitude.
Which is, it's the good stuff starting to come, isn't it? The good things in life.
If you can get rid of the bad stuff, which is what step 1 and 2 are about, we can start to get into the good stuff.
Genuine wealth.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And let's start creating the world that we want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gratitude next week. Okay, folks, livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. I don't think there's going to be that many show notes this week, apart from the resources, but worth investigating anyway.
Yeah, there'll be a podcast up. Not a podcast. A blog.
A blog post. Oh, Sean's blog post to accompany this. How can I forget?
There will. So you've got the course, you've got the blog, and you've got the podcast thing.
Hey, we're building some good stuff here, aren't we?
Yeah.
We should try and make some money out of all this.
We'll be famous one day.
Yeah.
I know who I am.
What step is money? It's chapter 8, isn't it, about money?
Something like
it?
That.
Yeah.
We'll get up there.
It's coming.
Yeah.
All right. Cheers, folks. You take it easy, and we'll see you next week.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.